Back with you once again for No Sleep Teal here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer alongside Evan Ryer. Evan, it's kind of been rinse, wash, repeat, unfortunately, with these programs during the regular season. Another competitive loss, this time to a divisional opponent, as the Houston Texans complete the regular season sweep of the Jacksonville Jaguars last Sunday at Everbank Stadium. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but obviously the big news to come from last Sunday, Trevor Lawrence goes out with a concussion after a wicked hit. The decision has been made to shut Trevor Lawrence down for the remainder of the season. I know you were a proponent of this even before last Sunday. It makes a lot of sense now, especially after this latest setback.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, further highlights that it's not going well, and it doesn't seem like anything was going to turn around. It's not a case of like I told you so or anything like that. I definitely understood the argument that, shoot, you know, Trevor's your face of the franchise. He's being paid the most. If he's healthy, he should be playing. But, you know, it just stinks how that works, where, you know, he does try to get back out there. They try to see if they can get him going, and then something like this happens. Obviously, you know, with concussions, you're really just hoping that there's no long-term effects. I don't really care about, you know, his footballing ability. You know, you just want, you know, the brain to be okay, which, you know, it seems like, you know, he's been on Twitter and stuff since the hit and stuff like that, and posted a few things. So it seems like he's fine. But yeah, it's definitely the right move to just go ahead and shut him down until 2025.
Big opportunity, obviously, continues for Mac Jones as it relates to his personal future for 2025 and beyond. I will say this for Mac. I thought he did get into a bit of a rhythm there. Little too late. Scenario there last Sunday, but it seemed like him and Parker Washington especially, and you think about the Tennessee Titans coming up on the road this Sunday up in Nashville, I think you still have to have some optimism about maybe those two can kind of continue things. Also saw some improvement in terms of trying to get Brian Thomas Jr. involved more so in even the quick game, some easier touches to get him going. Still working him down the field with some success, not always hitting him as much as you would like to on some of those plays, Evan. But, you know, for all the gloom and doom right now, and it's certainly justified with a 2-10 team, this stretch coming up, you know, it's what, the closing five. So we talked about it for so long that if you could just get to this point in the season, early December, second weekend in December, and be in one piece, you'd have a shot to really make some hay. Now, as we've also talked about, Tennessee Titans are kind of looking at the Jaguars right now and thinking that.
Yeah, it's both teams are not good, and both in desperate need of a win, just you know, maybe satiate morale a little bit, if nothing else. The Jags on the road in Nashville, historically not great. Generally not a great place to
we've witnessed a couple of those firsthand up there.
Yeah, I'm 0-2 up there. You know, it's personal. But no, so I mean, it's really one where, you know, with the historical context, I'm not feeling very confident. I mean, I wouldn't feel confident anyways when they come back down to Jacksonville. It's not like things are going to change super strongly. But yeah, it's definitely a chance for Mac Jones to prove that, you know, he is finding something after some early struggles in terms of his opportunities. And, you know, the Tennessee Titans secondary is not good at all. So, you know, maybe this is a chance for Parker Washington to continue picking up momentum. And ideally, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. has had some really good games. If you had to pick one on the schedule of the games remaining, this is the kind of game that maybe he could go for something like 150 or whatever. They could really get him going.
What about Vegas? We won't get too much into that. I mean, you got Vegas still, you got the road trip to Indy, then a return trip to Nashville. Yep. You got Aaron Rodgers and the Jets coming to Duval in a couple of weekends. You think about Vegas too in that stretch. You know, there's one potentially on the road, but then Aiden O'Connell goes off sort of just randomly against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago, and that gives you some pause there. But let's go around this football team, understanding you're going to deal with Calvin Ridley this week on the defensive side. That's been problematic. Calvin's probably licking his chops getting to go against his old team. And also the Titans can run it. You know, I know that's not Derrick Henry anymore up in Nashville, but they've succeeded him with a very capable replacement who can do some of the same things that we've seen Josh Jacobs do, that we saw, you know, Joe Mixon, my worst nightmare. How did the Texans close out the Jags last week with Joe Mixon? And so I think it still starts there for the Jaguar defense, but yeah, you think about Ridley, Will Levis, he's been kind of hit or miss literally and figuratively. But this football team for the Jaguars, I mean, we start on the offensive side of the ball moving forward. Trevor Lawrence is a given, so we won't really even talk about that in depth. There'll be plenty of time for discussion on Trevor, you know, as he's shelved here for the remainder of the regular season. What about running back, though? It wouldn't seem as if Travis Etienne would be too much in the future plans, although you got him under contract or you've got the option fulfilled with him. But is it more Tank Bigsby for you? What do you see there? The one guy, the one aspect of that position that you can envision moving forward?
You know, I think it's not going to be any surprise to say that if I had to pick one, it's Tank Bigsby, just because, you know, in his limited opportunities, for the most part, he's kind of the only, you know, spark in the running game. Etienne's, you know, really struggled when he's been on the field. It just hasn't happened this year. You know, obviously Etienne will probably stick around. I guess maybe they could trade him, but you know, really Bigsby is the guy that I feel like you're still looking to amplify his role, whereas Travis Etienne's role seems to be minimizing. So I think you got to go with Bigsby.
Yeah, I think it's Bigsby too. I just wish the complimentary aspect of it was more along the lines that you would think it would be. You would think that ETN and Bigsby would be a really nice mix. And maybe if it is in place a year from now, it becomes more of that. Maybe Travis gets his mojo back a little bit because it's been gone due in part to injuries, as we know, this season. What about the receiver positions? We'll combine tight end with this too. You know, when you think about, obviously, Brenton Strange emerging there at that position to go along with Evan Ingram. But then at wide receiver, you totally expect this thing to be built around BTJ in the coming years. But next guy's up, Parker Washington, as we talked about earlier, and how that could impact Christian Kirk if it hasn't already.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like the Jags will not have Christian Kirk on the roster next year. I mean, the way that they built that contract is kind of really set up for them to get out, you know, after this season with basically, you know, little to no dead money. So Parker Washington definitely feels like, again, kind of like Bigsby, where it's, as we've seen, you know, more and more opportunities, there's definitely been games both last year and this year that he's, I wouldn't say shined, but flashed, you know, showed that this is a guy that, you know, definitely can do something. And, you know, the idea of, you know, we've talked about it all, you know, since we drafted Brian Thomas Jr., you know, that absolutely, you know, expands the field for this team. And, you know, sets up stuff underneath. Parker Washington is a guy that clearly benefits from having someone like BTJ. I think it's a natural combo to really start with them. And then also, yeah, Brenton Strange, again, you know, a guy with an expanding role, not a minimizing one. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Evan Ingram is still around next year, but it's kind of, again, an off year for a lot of dudes, including Evan.
Yeah, I think offensively, it kind of depends on who's around calling plays and coordinating things too. And, you know, what your approach is in general. You know, we talked about it before, maybe going to more of a thump on offense and under center, pound the rock a little bit more, but that's going to require some work on that offensive line, which has been a reoccurring theme for more than a few years now where the Jacksonville Jaguars are concerned. Not the worst offensive line in the NFL right now, I would go as far as to say, but you know, Anton Harrison is a part of this thing moving forward. Now we know Walker Little is a part of it for at least a couple of three more years, but the interior of that offensive line, sure, definitely has some miles on the tires at this point. Same thing for Mitch Morse. Ezra Cleveland has had some injury issues. How do you envision that in terms of core pieces and who you try to build that thing around? And what, in terms of concepts and approaches, do you think would work well with what this group might be in a year's time?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised that even if they do, you know, if it goes to a new coaching staff, that you see a lot of kind of transitional, like adaptation to Doug's system and their running scheme. But yeah, other than Little and Harrison, I don't really think any of these guys are guys you want to keep around long-term. No offense to any of them, but I mean, it's just been, you know, disappointing with Mitch Morse. Ezra Cleveland has been fine, but you know, nothing special. And Brandon Scherff continues to be underwhelming. I think really whether or not, you know, the Jags clean house, I personally think, you know, you can't get rid of all three because it's just very difficult to find three starters, yeah, whether it's in the draft or free agency. I think you keep one and then you attack the draft, maybe the second round pick for an interior lineman, and then you go sign someone else in free agency. And then you really, the guys that continue to stick around are Blake Hansen, Luke Fortner, and Cooper Hodges. I mean, I think that's the only part of that group that you're really looking at long-term. And even then, you know, how much have they shown you that, you know, they need to be here, you know, in 2-3 years, whatever the timeline is. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
I think Cooper Hodges, you know, obviously was a guy that they wanted to keep around, but now you're talking about two significant injuries in 2 years. I envision Ezra Cleveland still being around in 2025, but I agree with you, Scherff. Morse, you know, we'll kind of have to wait and see how that plays out. I'll tell you what, we'll do the defensive side next week here
that
on the
Sleep
Field. We're keeping it short and sweet on this Friday edition as the Jaguars prepare to travel to Nashville. So what's the confidence level as we get out of here, Evan, for Sunday up there? I know both of us have been traumatized at that venue in the past. Now that had more to do with number 22, and even Marcus Mariota 1 year lit up the Jags.
Yeah. When we 90 were up there. Yard rushing touchdown, or whatever it was.
That was pretty rough. But look, it's a winnable game for the Jags, even with Mac Jones at quarterback. If you can get some carryover from that offense and, you know, some of that, I think you got a chance to win it. I'll tell you this too, special teams haven't been special for the Titans this year. So maybe that's an area where you can make some hay. I thought it was interesting that the Jags did bring in a punter for the practice squad this week. So we'll have to see, you know, exactly how that plays out with the team MVP, as we have referred to number 9 there. So Logan Cook, I feel decently confident. I'm not going to pick the Jags. I'm not going to go that far. But I think, once again, it'll be a competitive football game, like most of them are in this league. And we'll just have to see how the final 8 or 9 minutes go.
I think this is definitely a game that could get really wacky. This has kind of the, you know, like a clown show kind of game going on where you might see a lot of turnovers.
Hijinks.
Shenanigans.
Nice. Love shenanigans.
But I really do think, like, you know, blocked punt, that kind of – it just has all that kind of stuff written on it. It's also, one, both these secondaries stink. So, like, Will Levis, you know, he's a gunslinger. He's going to take some shots. Calvin Ridley, like you said, it's a prove-it revenge game, whatever you want to call it. And then with Mac Jones, like, he's also not going to be afraid to take shots against the secondary. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get, like, a very high-scoring game, like something – you know, maybe that people aren't expecting, considering these offenses have also not been especially great. So, yeah, I think it'll be competitive. Unfortunately, I can't pick the Jags in confidence right now, but maybe something like 35-31 even, like a really high score. Like, I genuinely think it's a race to 30 probably in this game. I think at least one team will hit that number. And we could get, you know, kind of what we got in Thursday Night Football, where, you know, that game ended, you know, 34-31 kind of vibes. So
I just don't want the Jags chasing late again, because not even so much because of lack of confidence in the offense, but again, Tennessee has a run game that can close the game out.
Yeah.
You know, and the Jags, I don't feel like have that right now. We see, maybe they do, But right now, too, the Titans have two war daddies on the interior of that defensive line and Jeffrey Simmons and Sweat, the draft pick. So that gives me even less confidence where the Jags run game is concerned this week.
No, this definitely this feels like a game that's going to require a lot of screens, motion, like different little stuff, which the Jags, you know, have clearly been trying to do, not to great success. But yeah, it's I can't imagine that the that ETN and Bigsby are going to have a fun day trying to deal with that. But yeah, you never know. It's
maybe a little Motor City Magic. And by the way, you can't spell magic without Mac, without that M A C.
It's true. I want him to do it. Let's see it, man. This is as good of an opportunity as he's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this Jets game coming up after that, they're not a great team, but they got some good corners. So this is Gardner. one to try and show out a little bit.
Absolutely. Ev, appreciate you taking the time. As always, always a lot of fun right here with Ev on No Sleep Teal on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We would appreciate that. Give us a like while you're at it, a thumbs up. That would be tremendous as well. For Ev, I'm Travis. Thanks for tuning again to No Sleep Teal. And until next time, so long, everybody.